Good morning and welcome to the Narrow Path radio broadcast. My name is Steve Gregg and we are live for a half hour each weekday morning, including this morning. And we have a phone line that is open for you to call if you have questions about the Bible or about the Christian faith and you have the desire to call and ask them. Well, that's what you have an opportunity to do in this next half hour, which is not a very long time. It goes by very quickly, so I urge you, if you want to call, please call as early as you can, just because I'm thinking about you. I'm looking out for you. I don't want you to be sitting on hold when the program ends. I want you to call early enough we can get your call and do what we can to discuss the questions that you have. You can also call if you simply don't agree with the host and want to present an alternate viewpoint and balanced comment. Please do that if you want to. But again, we have the same time limitation, so let me urge you to call as early as you can. Excuse me. The number to call is 800-227-5278. That's 800-227-5278. Our first caller today is William. He's calling from Irvine, California. William, welcome to the Narrow Path. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Steve, for taking my call. Yes, I have a question. How far do we go in sharing the truth with our brothers and sisters and on issues that that might be controversial? I saw a movie last week. I don't usually go to movies, but this is a documentary on vaccine called Vaxxed by Robert De Niro. And I've read other books and did studies on this for years because dealing with autistic kids. And I use my truck as a message board, and I put messages on there to be aware of vaccines and that kind of thing. And sometimes I get a little discredited from a brother or sister that I'm being too controversial or being too, worldly in some sense, because I try and, just be upfront with my message and say beware, and I give a website to check out to get information because of the mercury and the toxic things that are in vaccines, which I believe Satan is using to destroy mankind. There's so many ways that he's so subtle, and it's not natural.
Okay, well, you said you're using the message board on your truck to warn people against vaccines?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I didn't see the documentary that you mentioned, though I'm certainly aware about the controversy about vaccines and the claim that some make that they are associated with autism in children. And I don't know if those claims are true or not. I will tell you that whenever I hear something that challenges, standard procedures, I'm always open to it. Not because I'm looking to jump onto some conspiracy theory, but I just want to. I do believe that big establishments, big pharma, and the U.S. government and other big agencies have a stake financially in promoting certain things, including vaccines, and that even if they were proven to be dangerous, they might well not want us to know about that. So I'm always willing to hear somebody who says they know something. Now, most of the doctors I know believe that that the vaccines have not been proven harmful, whereas the people who are not doctors who are criticizing it, and maybe some who are doctors, but I don't know them, are saying there is a correlation there with autism. Now, the question I would have is, although that's an important thing to make inquiry into, it remains controversial enough that I would not necessarily want to use valuable advertising space to promote a view that I really don't know about. I would suggest to people that they do their own research and that they might learn something about vaccines that will be alarming to them, or their research might turn up the opposite result. I don't consider that's the main message I would use advertising space for. When your Christian friends say you're being too controversial, I don't know if you're being too controversial or not. I'm not sure if you're a controversialist or if you're just concerned about this one issue. And, I'm not saying Christians should never speak up about things like this, but the main thing is that Christians have a message, another message, a message of salvation, a message of the kingdom of God, which is undeniably true. I mean, I realize that not everyone believes it, but the people who don't believe it are people who've never really looked at the evidence objectively. There are not two directions that the evidence points about the gospel. There is evidence for the Christian faith, and then there is nothing else. There's really not, I mean, there's evidence that doesn't touch on the subject on different theories, but that no one has ever provided evidence that Christianity isn't true. And by the way, if someone thinks I'm overstating it, feel free to call and point out that evidence. I'd love to talk to whoever thinks they have evidence that Christianity isn't true, but I have spent 45 years looking into the matter, and that is what I have concluded. There's no evidence that Christianity isn't true, and there's trainloads of evidence that Christianity is true. Therefore, with great certainty, we can proclaim the gospel, knowing that we're not going to be making a mistake about that, knowing that we're not going to be promoting something that isn't true or that will be disproven. Now, there may be other issues of controversial nature that Christians would have an interest in. Certainly, Christians should have an interest in autism, just like people who aren't Christians should. Anybody should have an interest in the health of children and things like that, certainly. But the problem is with the vaccines is even though there is perhaps some evidence, condemning the use of vaccines, there are apparently people who look at evidence and see something else. In other words, it is controversial because the evidence isn't all persuasive one direction. And for that reason, and since the Bible doesn't tell us anything about vaccines or even indicate that they are, something that is a front burner concern for Christians, I guess I'd have to say I'd want to spend my time advertising Jesus or advertising the kingdom of God rather than a controversial issue which, for all we know, might prove, in the end, might prove us wrong. The evidence is not all in, and if we're, taking our stand on a controversial point, which could conceivably be proven wrong at some point, what that means is that we spend a lot of advertising time on the side of our truck or wherever we put the information. We've invested a lot of advertising opportunity in something that turns out maybe not to be true. We never have to worry about that being the case if we're advertising Christ and his gospel. That will never prove to be untrue. And furthermore, if we become notorious in our neighborhood or in our area for advertising a certain particular controversial point, and it turns out someday that it's proven to be false, that means that we will have lost our credibility when we want to talk about things that are true. That is to say, if it turns out that your understanding of the vaccine issue is false, and I'm not saying you're wrong, it may be right, but we don't know, at least I don't know. And therefore, I would suggest that we should not, we should not endanger our credibility on things that are still being investigated. I don't think you endanger your credibility by saying, I'm concerned about vaccines. I have heard and read some things that make me think they could be ill-advised, that they might be connected with autism and things like that. I don't think there's anything wrong with a Christian saying something like that. But to take a firm stand on a controversy that has, where the jury is not really all in yet, you take the chance that what you've been hammering will someday be proven to be false. I'm not saying it will be, but you never know. And then, of course, once all your friends know you've been hammering this issue and it turned out to be false, they begin to wonder whether you have credibility about anything else either. All you have to do is be caught in a hoax or a lie or something one time, and your credibility is pretty much shot. I think Christians can speak up about things like this, but they need to speak up in a measured way until all the facts are clearly on their side. And even if all the facts were clearly on the side of those who say vaccines are dangerous, you have to ask yourself, is this the message that God is proclaiming to the world? I'm an agent of Christ. Is the message that God has for the world, beware of vaccines? Now, again, if vaccines are destroying human lives, that would be a concern that God would have, and it would be something Christians might speak up about. But it's not the message. There's a much more central message that the Christian has been commissioned to give. And so I'm not against your message. I'm not against telling people there are reasons to be concerned, or there seem to be reasons to be concerned about vaccines, and people should do considerable more research than most people do before they choose to give them to their children or whatever. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But to make that the message and to make that the hill to die on, that people are going to decide whether you're, in touch with reality or whether you're a crank or whatever, that's I would say that's not what we're primarily told to preach. But you're asking how far should we go in spreading the truth. I think we should go as far as we need to spread the truth, but we need to make sure that what we're spreading is truth and not something that we've simply read a lot of convincing propaganda about. Once again, I'm not claiming that Robert De Niro and his documentary are wrong. I just know that the medical community isn't all on one side of this issue, and that suggests there's more to be learned about it. But I do know that all the evidence favors Jesus being the Lord, being risen from the dead, having established his kingdom and his demand that all people surrender to him and become his disciples. That's a message that we've been told to proclaim by none less than Christ himself, and therefore we know it's not ever going to be proven false. Let God be true and every man a liar. I appreciate your call. Let's talk to Patrick from Corona next. And if you'd like to be on the program, I'd recommend you call as early as you can now. The number is 800-227-5278. That's 800-227-5278. Patrick from Corona, welcome to the Narrow Path. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks, Steve. The question I had for you today was, does everything go through God's hands? In other words, like stuff like car accidents, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, an angel protected me from this, you know, car wreck, you know, maybe somebody veering in front of them, or, you know, certain situations where, you know, you have things happen that, you know, might be promoting death or stuff like that. You have any thoughts on that?
I do have thoughts on that. Now, these thoughts would primarily apply to Christians. They might apply to non-Christians too, but I don't know. And the reason is because there are certain promises the Bible makes to Christians. And as a Christian, I count on these promises being true. These promises are specifically made to believers and those who fear God. Now, whether they apply also to others who aren't Christians, I cannot say, because that's simply an area where I think the Bible is somewhat less clear. But, you know, well, one place that we might say it applies to everybody would be where Jesus said that not a sparrow falls to the ground apart from the will of your Father in heaven. And of course, he said you're worth more than many sparrows, and not only are Christians worth more than many sparrows, all human beings are worth more than many sparrows. So if it is true that God superintends the universe to such a degree that not even a bird, of which there are millions of them whose lives and deaths are essentially inconsequential to anything except their own reproduction, which is not very important necessarily, but God is watching each of them and doesn't permit any of them to die until it's his desired time. Not one falls to the ground apart from the will of your Father. Certainly indicates that God is superintending the fate even of every bird, and if every bird, then I'd say every human. Now, does that mean that every event in everyone's life is specifically foreordained or orchestrated by God? I wouldn't say that we'd have to go that far. I mean, not all events in our lives are life-threatening. It would suggest that God is paying attention and cares and has a will about the life and death of every person, the time of death, the means of death, and things like that. It doesn't mean that everything that happens between birth and death has been ordained by God, because not everything is that consequential. However, anything that we might regard as a danger or harmful to us, I think there are specific promises to believers about that very thing. For example, I'd turn your attention to Psalm 34:7, which says, "The angel of the Lord encamps around about those who fear him and delivers them." Well, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear God and delivers them. And that would mean that if I fear God, I've got bodyguards. I've got angels encamped around me to protect me. Now, we know that Job did. Well, what's described as a hedge or a fence around Job, the devil complained that because Job was a man who feared God, Satan was not able to do anything to him because God had put a hedge around him, it says in the King James Version. That hedge, no doubt, was this bodyguard of angels that were protecting Job and all his things from satanic interference. And Satan had to ask for God's permission to take Job's things, to take his family, to take his health, even to take his life, which God never granted that permission. God did give him permission to do some things, harmful to Job. But he did not give him permission to take his life, and I'm sure Satan would love to have done so. But that just wasn't in God's plan for Job, for him to die at that time. So the devil was not permitted to do it. We see that God has certainly the power. He's got the horses, the angelic powers, as it were. He's got the military strength to fend off anything that would hurt those who fear him. It says in Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12, he has given his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. And in their hands they'll bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. In other words, even a small injury is apparently not possible unless God allows it, because God has certainly the power and the interest in protecting you from all harm, and he has the angels assigned for that. So if we take those scriptures seriously, and I do, then I think we could say that doesn't necessarily mean that God ordains everything that happens, because not everything is harmful. Some things are good, some things are neutral, some things are harmful in some small way. But anything that would truly be harmful to us, I believe we can understand that God would have prevented, and certainly could have prevented, if he had wished. And what that means, there's two ways people have taken that. Some say, well, then I'm going to blame God for my problems. Well, that's one way you could look at it, I guess. If God could have stopped it and he didn't, then I'm going to blame God for the fact that I was injured. I'm going to blame God that my wife was killed in an accident. I'm going to blame God for this, because he was in charge. But blaming God is something Christians are not inclined to do, because by definition, Christians believe God. We trust God. We believe God is good. We believe God is all-powerful. And therefore, I would take the information the opposite way. I would never blame God for anything that's happened to me, because I don't consider it's blameworthy. I believe everything God does is what a loving father does for his children. And therefore, painful as it may be to me, whatever loss or injury I may suffer, it's for my good. And instead of saying, God, you're to blame, I say, God, I trust you in this, that you're doing something that I would probably not have chosen for myself, but you're choosing it for me because it's for my good. I like to give the illustration of my son, who broke his arm in a skateboarding accident when he was about 16 and a half. And by the time we got him to the hospital and got through the OR and stuff, I mean, not the OR, the ER, he didn't go in, well, he did go into the OR. Yeah, we went through the ER into the OR, and, his arm had begun to heal again. It had not been set properly, but it had begun to heal wrong. And the doctors asked me if I would let them break the arm again, because he was a minor. I had to give my approval. Well, I could hardly stand the pain my son was already going through. To have them break the arm again seemed, barbaric. It seemed horrible. I couldn't even imagine doing such a horrible thing to my son. But it was clear that if they didn't break his arm, it was going to remain crooked for the rest of his life. And so I gave my permission. Now, actually, my son was old enough to actually recognize that that was a good thing and to appreciate it. But what if he had been a three-year-old and he saw me giving permission to a doctor to break his already broken arm? I mean, a three-year-old who would have no way of knowing why that has to be done and would probably look at his dad and say, what are you, a monster? But of course, because my son was older, he knew that I didn't give permission to the doctor to break his arm because I'm a monster, but because I have his long-term well-being in mind. And, we are sometimes like three-year-olds, and we're told that God is the one who's allowing the devil to hurt us in certain ways. God has let us suffer certain things, which he could have prevented. And some people say, well, that means God's a monster. Well, see, that someone would say that if they don't know their dad. Someone would say that if they don't know that he loves them. But if someone loves God and trusts God and knows that God is loving, then knowing that those things come through his filter to us, that they come by his will, it totally transforms the experience from one of a confusing, question of why would God allow this to something else, which is more like, whether I understand or not, this is going to be for my good. This is surgical. And so that's what I would understand to be the answer to your question. I hope that may clarify what you were wondering about. Let's talk to Marty from San Diego, California. Marty, welcome to The Narrow Path. Thanks for calling.
Super quick, Steve. Isaiah 49, verse 16, concerning like the hedge that was around Job. It says, Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands, thy walls continually before me. Would you agree that thy walls being continually before him also speaks similarly about a hedge?
Well, I wouldn't make that application, although, as you know from my previous answer, I certainly believe that God has a hedge of protection around us. The statement in Isaiah 49, though, is not about the personal protection of the individual. This is a prophecy made to the nation of Israel. And it says in verse 7, for example, thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and Israel's Holy One. And this is a promise that God is making to Israel. So when he says, see, I've inscribed you on the palms of my hands, your walls are continually before me, your builders outdo your destroyers, and those who laid you waste go away from you. I think what to understand is he's saying the city of Jerusalem, whose walls had been destroyed by the Babylonians, was going to be rebuilt. And God, even though the walls have been broken down, God can still see them, as it were, as a reality that's going to be rebuilt again. It talks about your builders are going to outdo your destroyers. The destroyers were the Babylonians who had broken down the walls of Jerusalem. And yet he says they're going to be builders who outdo, that is, whose work has a greater effect than the destroyers. They're going to rebuild the walls. So I consider this to be a reference to the walls of the city of Jerusalem, although I also believe that this section of Isaiah is in some sense to be spiritualized. I believe that the restoration of the captives from Babylon, which was a literal thing prophesied in the scriptures and which did take place literally, it serves sort of like the Exodus does in the Old Testament as a type and a shadow of salvation of a spiritual sort. And passages from this part of Isaiah are often quoted in the New Testament to be about spiritual truth, spiritual salvation through Christ. So I believe the passage has a primary application to the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile. But it also has a theme of restoration of a spiritual sort, restoration of the spiritual Jerusalem in salvation through Christ. It would take an awful lot of exploration to explain why I see this section of Isaiah that way. Fortunately, for anyone who's really curious, my website has about 900 lectures, including my verse-by-verse teachings through the whole Bible. But on Isaiah, there is a series called Topical Isaiah, where I go through all the passages in Isaiah topically, because there's many repeated topics in Isaiah, and I point out how the New Testament writers understand these topics and these parts of Isaiah. So if somebody really wants to understand what I don't have time to explain here, there are those lectures. And all my lectures at my website are free. I mean, you just go there and listen to them right on the site. They're MP3 files, or you can download them for free. Put them on an iPod or an iPad or something else that you listen through, and take them with you. So let me just say, I didn't intend for this answer to be an infomercial for my website, but it might as well become that. We don't have another call waiting at the moment. But the website has everything for free. We don't have anything for sale in this ministry. We don't sell something over the air. We don't sell anything from the website. We simply have resources that we provide for the body of Christ. And we've been doing this for a very long time. The Narrow Path, our afternoon program, which is not the one you're listening to. We have two programs a day, one in the morning and one in the afternoon. The afternoon program has been on for 19 years. It's been since 1997. And we've had a website and we've had our resources. Of course, not all the resources have been up there that long because there's new ones. But we have been providing these resources for free to the body of Christ, and we just want to make sure you know they're there so that you can access them. You might not think that you'd have any use for them, and maybe you wouldn't, but I receive emails all the time from people who listen to them all the time and say it's changed their whole experience of studying the Bible or in their whole Christian life. So just be aware of thenarrowpath.com. Thenarrowpath.com. That's our website. And as I mentioned at the end of each program, We are listener supported. I mentioned we don't sell anything. We not only don't sell anything, we don't let anyone else sell anything at our website. We don't have ads on the radio or at the website. We just I'll tell you what we did. When I started this radio ministry, I decided, you know, I don't know if God wants this program to be on the air or not, so I'll let him decide. I've decided not to do anything in the area of fundraising other than simply to let the listeners know we're listener supported and we have an address you can write to if you want to. That's as much information as I give out. I don't tell people what our actual needs are. I will say, though, that the Lord for the last 19 years has nonetheless moved on people to donate so that we've been able to pay the radio bills. It's interesting. When I say I don't want to let you know what the needs are. I don't want you to know what our current status is, but I will let you know what the actual overall needs are of the ministry. We pay about $1,000 a day to radio stations. We're on quite a few radio stations, and the combined amount that we spend on these radio stations is about $1,000 a day. We have no overhead. We don't have offices or studios or secretaries. We don't have any overhead at all. I am not paid. No one is paid. This is a volunteer ministry, and all the money that's donated goes to purchasing radio time. But even at that, even though the ministry is very lean in that respect, it's still very expensive. And I'm not complaining because the Lord has been providing. It's wonderful. But we just want our listeners to be aware that we stay on the air because we buy the radio time. And the radio time is paid for by listeners who think it should be and who contribute. If you'd like to write to us, as I said, I do give the address out every day. And this is it. That is, I give it when I have time. Sometimes I forget. The address is The Narrow Path, P.O. Box 1730, Temecula, California, 92593. Once again, that address is The Narrow Path, P.O. Box 1730, Temecula, California, 92593. You can also donate from the website if you wish, and I've told you before, the website is thenarrowpath.com. Hope you'll tune in every day this week that you can and call in with your questions. I'm Steve Gregg. Thanks for joining us. Let's talk again tomorrow. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of KBRT, its ownership, its management, or its sponsors.
Just about 10 o'clock in the morning, you're listening to KBRIGHT AM 740 and AM 1240 down in San Diego. Serving God and country, I'm Rob Newton, and thanks for listening to The Narrow Path. I hope you got your question answered today, but just in case you weren't able to, you can tune in tomorrow morning again at 9:30 and get in line to ask Steve Gregg a question. Also, you have another opportunity each weekday to get a Bible question answered at 12 o'clock, the Bible Answer Show with Pastor Michael Lance and his team of pastors from Living Truth Christian Fellowship in Corona. So tune in today at 12 o'clock for the Bible Answer Show. Enjoying Everyday Life with Joyce Meyer is next, and she's teaching from her series, No Weapon Formed Against You Shall Prosper. I'm Rob Newton.
KBRIGHT.
A CD alternative that last year paid around 5 times the interest banks paid? We can connect you with a trusted financial advisor who can give you all the details. His number's at the ad line, 800-227-2337.
Southern California's only 50,000-watt Christian station. We are KBRT and KBRT HD Costa Mesa and KNSN San Diego. Also on the web at KBRT740.com.
Welcome to Enjoying Everyday Life with New York Times bestselling author Joyce Meyer. On today's program, Joyce will be teaching from her series entitled, No Weapon Formed Against You Shall Prosper. You are in a war, and you fight many battles every day. But did you know that God has already given you victory over this war? It's true. He has already defeated the devil, and there is nothing that can come against you in Christ. So stand up and be bold. Claim the power and authority you have been given in Him. Let Joyce encourage you today to grow in your walk with Christ and truly give all of yourself over to Him. Before she gets started, though, I'd like to remind all the ladies listening about the 2016 Love Life Women's Conference in St. Louis, Missouri, September 29th through October 1st. Come join thousands of other women in amazing worship and great teaching. Early bird pricing ends May 31st, so register today at joycemeyer.org. Now, here's Joyce with today's teaching, No Weapon Formed Against You Shall Prosper.
You know, surely you can understand that to go through what I went through as a child, or what many of you have gone through in your life, the different things that we encounter. I mean, I was pretty messed up, and getting from where I was to where I am, it would be foolish for me to stand here and tell you it's been easy, because it hasn't. But man, was it worth it. Boy, was it worth it. So I just want to give you a short encouragement this morning. Don't give up. Keep watering your seed. Keep spending time with God. Let that sun shine on you. Be patient. You know, I carried all of my kids way over the due date. And some of you feel like you are over your due date.